Father, we thank you for your word, for your power, for your anointing. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. It's alive. It's not a novel or a textbook. Lord, we pray that your word would live in us today and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you noticed in life that sometimes things don't always go sweet as? I have. By the way, don't ever say sweet as in America because they think you're saying something about their anatomy and they will abuse you. Just say it in New Zealand and people understand you. Sometimes in our lives we have challenges. We have obstacles in our paths. Sometimes we face mountains that need to be moved. Some people even here today, you may be facing a mountain in your life right now. A mountain of lack or debt. It's a financial mountain. A mountain of a relationship issue or breakdown. A relational mountain. A mountain of a bad diagnosis or a bad report from the doctor. A health mountain. The thing about a mountain is that it looks so big. It looks so permanent. It looks so immovable. So today we are going to talk about moving mountains in Jesus' name. So the title is Move That Mountain, if you want to write that down. You know, we all want mountain-moving faith, don't we? But how do we respond when there's a mountain blocking our path that God has us on? What do we do? Well, what we normally do, we talk about it. We talk about our mountain. Oh my goodness, I've got this mountain in my way and it's so bad. My job is so stressful. Well, I'm going backwards financially. And we speak to others about our big, bad, ugly mountains that are in our way and how big and bad and ugly they are. And you tell your mother and you tell your friends and you tell your guys at work and you tell your hairdresser and the checkout girl at the supermarket, I've got this mountain and it's so big and it's in my way and I don't know how it's going to move. But Jesus tells us to speak to the mountains and they will move. We're always big on talking about the mountains to everyone else, but he tells us to speak to the mountains. So today we're going to look at four scriptures. I encourage you to write them down. The first one, here we go. Jesus said, Matthew 17:20 in the NIV, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, if you have just a little bit of faith, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So right there we see that Jesus told us to say to this mountain. He's telling us to talk to the problem, to talk to the mountain that's in our way, to talk to this obstacle that's in our path. We've got to stop talking about our circumstances and talk to our circumstances. We've got to stop talking about this big, bad, ugly mountain and talk to this mountain. So many times we let the mountain speak to us instead of us speaking to the mountain. And when we talk about our mountain over and over and over, it seems like it gets bigger. And it seems like God gets smaller. But we've got to rise up and speak to that mountain in Jesus' name. And we're going to see it move. I don't care how big or bad or ugly your mountain is. We serve a mountain-moving God. He specializes in moving mountains. Hallelujah. And he tells us to do the same. We've got to be like him. There are things that are here today in our lives that need to shift in the spirit realm. Whatever your mountain may be, Jesus tells us how to shift them with our mouths. Open your mouth today, like you're at the dentist. We got to get this into here. We got to get the word into our mouths. We got to speak out in faith the word of God. Okay, here's our second scripture. Are you ready? In the Old Testament, Joshua 1, verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be sure to do according to all that is in it. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have great success. So do not let the Bible, the word of God, depart from where? Your mouth. It doesn't say do not let this book of the law depart from your bedside table where it is lying gathering dust. No, from your mouth. So we've got to get it from here into here and then speak it out here. Now, we know we need to be reading our Bibles. That's what our Connect group leaders tell us. It's true. Sorry, I'm eating my hair. Oh, I did have breakfast. We know we need to be hearing the Word of God, but we can't stop there. It has got to go out our mouths. It's got to come in our eyes or in our ears and then come out our mouths again. It's not enough for the Word of God to be going in our eyeballs and then into our brain. It's not enough for the Word of God to be going in our ears, through our earbuds, and from our phone. It's not enough for it to be going in. It also needs to be coming out our mouths. It's got to come out again. Now, in Hebrew, the word meditate, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, meditate on it day and night. That word meditate means to mutter. So don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but mutter it day and night. We've got to be muttering scripture. Now we see here, there is a link, stay with me, there is a link between speaking the word of God, meditating on it, doing it, and being prosperous and successful in this verse. Then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. So Joshua here is taking new ground. He's about to lead God's people in to possess all he's promised them, but there's some mountains in the way, namely giants. So whenever God leads us to take new ground in your personal life, in your family, as a church, there's always a battle. And Joshua here was taking ground that the devil had held for over 440 years. Was the devil about to say, oh yeah, here you go, just take it, it's yours. Sweet ass. No. No way, Jose. There's always a battle. Right now here in C3 City Church, we are taking ground. And we've joined with Dave and Heather to do Hope Project over our nation with many other Christians. And we've done 11 days of prayer and fasting. And we've had Easter services with unsafe friends we've been bringing along. And Easter camp was incredible. The car park is getting full each week. And we're asking our hosts and people who are serving to park their cars on the grass under the trees. We're getting bird poo on our cars. This is what a move of God looks like when you get bird poo on your car. This is when you know you're taking back ground for the Lord. So God is telling us, his people, here in this text, in this verse, to advance and take spiritual territory from the enemy. Are we naive enough to think Satan's just going to hand it over? Here you go. Yeah. Spiritual territory that he has occupied in this city for generations? No. There's always a battle. But how do we battle? Well, we have the commander of our army, Jesus, and he's always victorious. God not only tells Joshua here in this verse to take new territory for God, he tells him how to do it by speaking the word of God. The Lord is telling Joshua to be strong and courageous three times in this chapter. He's also telling us today, the Christian life demands courage and it is supplied to us through God's word. And there are 7,487 promises in the Bible that God speaks directly to people. To people. Almost 7,500. So we've got to take those promises personally and live by them. You know, there was this guy once who did just that. His name was Solomon Ginsberg. He was a Polish Jew. And about 100 years ago, he became a flaming evangelist across both Europe and South America. And he decided to have a furlough because he was tired. So in 1911, he needed rest. So he decided in Europe that he would head to America and have a rest and a holiday and a furlough. And his route took him to Lisbon, the capital of Portugal. And then he was going to cross in a ship the Bay of Biscay to London and then go on another ship to the USA. But when he arrived in Lisbon in Portugal, he found all these bulletin boards everywhere plastered with telegrams about the weather, warning of horrific storms on the Bay of Biscay. And people were saying, it's dangerous sailing, you must not go now, you must delay your trip a week. His ticket allowed him to do that, but he asked the Lord. And as he asked the Lord, he got a word from the Word. He saw a scripture on his prayer calendar, and it said in Deuteronomy 2 verse 7, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord has been with you, you've lacked nothing. So he felt from that the Lord was assuring him that his travels were under divine protection. So he boarded the ship at once and crossed without incident, then caught another ship in London called the Majestic, which took him across the Atlantic on a smooth and restful voyage. It was only after arriving in the USA that he learned that had he delayed his trip in Lisbon, as he had been advised to, he would have arrived in London just in time to board the Titanic. We've got to live by the word of God, not by what people say. In the armor of God that we see in the New Testament, the word is seen as a sword. Everything else in the armor is defensive, it protects us, but the sword is our only offensive weapon. And we've got to learn how to use God's word as a spiritual weapon. Like it says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We know the word of God is powerful, and the word of God in your mouth, spoken out with faith, is extremely powerful. We're up to our third scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 23. The first part of it in the English Standard Version says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, in the King James, it says the profession. Sometimes that word's translated confession in the New Testament, sometimes profession. But in the Greek, it means homologia, if that's how you pronounce it, which means agreement. Homo means the same. Logia is logos, the word of God. So it's saying to say the same as God. Say the same as God's word. So our confession, our profession is to say the same as God does. So when it comes to that big ugly mountain, we need to be saying the same as God does. So what does God's word say about your health? What does God's word say about your finances? What does God's word say about your marriage, about your kids? Don't say how big your mountain is. Say what God's word says. Don't say what your feelings say. Don't say what your circumstances say. Don't say what your workmates say. Say what God says. The Bible teaches us that words are powerful things. The fourth scripture, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Why don't you stick your tongue out at me today? Turn to the person next to you and show them your tongue. That's right. Death and life right here in the power of the tongue. What we say is both significant and powerful. Now here's the problem. This is what we're talking about today. Here's the problem. So often believers, Christians, get into agreement with the devil by what they say, and they're not even aware of it. And we can speak sickness and death over ourselves without a thought to what we're saying. How are you today? Oh, I'm not feeling the best. I think I'm getting the flu. Might be COVID. I feel sick. We're just confessing it and embracing it. Or we call it when I had the, you know, my sickness or my condition or my cancer. It's like we own it. It's ours. We're taking ownership of it. Or someone goes, how you doing? Oh, not bad. Is that all? Not bad? Can we not do any better than that? What about good? Yeah. You know, when someone asks me how I am, I always say, jolly good. And often I go, people go, oh, jolly, jolly good, are you? Or Alan's even better. How are you? What does Alan say when you say, he says, exceptionally good. Every time I'm spitting. And often he'll have people say, oh, why? Why? So there you've got an opportunity to witness right there. But people are shocked. I used to remember my granddad, I'd say, how are you, granddad? He'd go, oh, not bad, considering my age, the weather, and the government. That was a standard answer every time. Oh, here, would you like some of these? Oh, yes, I love macaroons. They're to die for. Really? So often we have these words coming out our mouth, and we don't even know what we're saying. Too often we are agreeing with sickness and death and poverty through our words, and we don't even notice it, and we speak them out over our lives. We've got to break our agreement with the devil and get into agreement with God. Stop saying things like, oh, I'll never get a house. I'll never get a house in Tauranga. It's like we're saying a vow over our lives, and we don't realize what power our words carry. So we've got to stop getting into agreement with the devil and get into agreement with God, because we don't only reap what we sow, we reap what we say. We reap what we say. When we speak the word of God out over our lives and our circumstances, we are speaking life into the spirit realm. The word of God has huge creative power. And we know that God brought about all of creation through his words. He did not create the heavens and the earth with hammer and nails. He spoke it. He said, let there be light. And it happened. And the darkness was changed. The light came and banished it. And God's word still has creative power today. God's word in your mouth still has creative power today. Do you know that we, the people of God, are called to be God's change agents on the earth? We are called by the Lord to bring his change into this world. We are called by God to bring his kingdom to earth. Like Jesus taught us in his prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just like it is up in heaven. So we are called to bring God's kingdom down into this reality. We are not called to just accept the status quo. Now back in Genesis again, when he created it all, the second verse of the Bible in chapter 1, it said, when God created the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And some versions say chaos was over the surface of the deep. Now, what did God do when he saw all this darkness and emptiness? What did he do? Did he go, oh, bummer, darkness. It's really hoping for some light, but, oh, well, I guess I'll just have to live with it. No, he did something about it. He changed it. How did he do that? He spoke. He spoke out his word, God's word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. The Lord did not settle for darkness. He spoke light. He spoke light. He didn't settle for the status quo. He brought change. He exercised his spiritual authority by speaking words. Far too often, we settle for darkness instead of speaking the word of God, which brings light. Too often, we settle for darkness. I want to ask you today, are you settling for darkness in an area of your life when God is calling you to bring change to it and speak light? Speak the word of God and bring change. Don't submit to the conditions of darkness. Change them. God has given us his authority. We have no idea how powerful we really are in the Lord. Tell the person next to you, you have no idea how powerful I really am. It's true. Amen. We have to exercise the spiritual authority that God has given us by speaking his word. Speak the light into the darkness. Speak the word into the spiritual darkness and watch the light invade it. Too often we misuse our words. Here we go again. We're moaning about how big and bad and ugly our mountains are. We're moaning and whinging about our tragic circumstances. Tragedy! They're terrible! And we have a big moan session to the Lord, and we call it a prayer time. Well, Lord, I got an eviction notice in the mail today, so I guess this must be what you want for me. I suppose this means you want me to be homeless and find a waterproof park bench to sleep under. Well, I've got this official letter here, so I guess it must be your will for my life. No, we don't have to settle for conditions of darkness. We don't have to live in the shadow of that cold, big, ugly mountain. Just because you've been hit with some negative circumstances doesn't mean you need to accept them and embrace them and lay down and die. We've got to ditch this case, sarah, sarah theology. Whatever will be, no. We've got to bury that fatalistic thinking. If you're confused about what God's will is for your life, don't be. Just read the book. It's right here. There's too much passive Christianity around. God has called us to be warriors. We've got to be spiritually aggressive and fight. The kingdom of God is an ever-increasing and expanding kingdom. And we are part of that. So we've got to stop whinging and whining about our problems to God, because there is no faith in it. In fact, if we read Exodus and Numbers, we'll see that God hates whinging and complaining and moaning. Is anyone a parent? You know what I'm talking about here? You just hate that whiny tone. Once it goes to that, shoot it down right there. The tone, that is. We don't whine in our house. We speak words. We don't whine. And I think the Lord's a bit like that. We're having our prayer time. Oh, God, and I've got this, and I've got that. And the Lord's like, what's that whining sound? Angels, can you hear something? It sounds like a mosquito. Gabriel, get the fly spray. He's so over our whinging and our moaning. Instead of moaning, we've got to wake up and realize who we are and what we have, and be positive and be proactive and speak out the word of God into our situations, because the word of God has prophetic power. The word of God has Holy Spirit anointing. The word of God is God breathed. And when we speak it out, we are releasing our faith. We are communicating our belief. Jesus spoke healing over people far more than he ever did laying hands on people and praying for them. He spoke healing. He spoke to the fig tree and it withered. And then Peter spoke to the lame beggar and the guy was healed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Paul spoke to the sorcerer and he was rendered blind temporarily. And Joshua spoke to the sun and it stopped in the sky. When you and I speak to our mountains, we are saying what God says. We are speaking the will of God into being on the earth. And we don't pray for the sick like, oh God, if it's your will, oh Lord, I know you can, but please would you heal this tormented soul and body, if it's your will. What is that? That's a whingy, whiny, begging prayer. We know it's God's will to heal. We've read the book. We've read Deuteronomy 28. The blessings and the curses. Sickness is part of the curse. It's what Jesus took on the cross. Good health is part of the blessing. Jesus has already paid for our sicknesses. He took our curse on the cross. He suffered so we wouldn't have to. So we speak to the mountain of the sickness. We speak to it. We say, fever, get off him in Jesus' name. We say, cancer, get off his body in the name of Jesus. We don't beg God in prayer. We speak out his will and his word in faith, because the Lord doesn't respond to need. If the Lord responded to need, there'd be no poor people in the world. There'd be no sick people in the world. He responds to faith. That's what the word tells us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's pleased with faith. The word of God is to be our truth and our reality, not what we currently see around us. You know, John Wesley, he was an amazing man of God who over 200 years ago brought revival to Britain. There goes my poppy. When it could have been descended into chaos and civil war and revolution like in France with a great bloodbath. And he traveled over 250,000 miles on horseback mostly and preached, I think it was 42,000 sermons. I was just reading about him yesterday again. And at one point, he had a period of where he was really battling sickness. And back then, you know, you get rained on because you're in England, hello. Their summer's like our winter, and that's as good as it ever gets. So don't immigrate there. you get rained on, you get wet, you get cold, and then there's no penicillin, there's no antibiotics invented until the 30s. So if you get cold, you die. That's why some of us, when we were young, our mothers would yell, "Get inside, or you catch your death." Because, you know, you would back then when it rained. He would get wet and then he'd get cold and then he'd be fighting this cold. And so if it went to your chest, you know, you get a fever, you'd die. So it was pretty serious. And he also had this period where he was fighting sickness. His horse was fighting lameness. And so he had to actually really make a stand. And one day he was just lying down the whole day and his head was aching and he was fighting fever in his body and he was in pain in his back and his neck. The only way he could get any relief was lying down. But the Lord gave him grace to stand up and preach. And when he preached, he felt fine because the anointing would come on him. But then when he got off and stopped preaching, when he got off the tombstone or the field, wherever he was, and lay down, he'd feel bad again. And one day he was fighting this. He's saying, God, my horse needs to get better and I need to get better. I've got to preach tonight. Suddenly, the word came into his mind. And it was Mark 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow those who believe. So he got up and he started praying into that and speaking it out. And guess what? His fever left, his pain vanished, and his strength returned. This is how we are to be. We've got to speak the word of God into our circumstances and see change in Jesus' name. We've got to speak the word to our mountains that need to move. And we've got to prophesy the word into our situations. So how does it work? We firstly command mountains to move in the spirit realm, and then we will see it worked out in the natural realm. So maybe today your mountain might be a relational one. Maybe you're facing things in your family. Some of you have got kids who are away from God, but the Lord wants to encourage you that they're going to come back. He wants us to change the way we pray for them. He wants us, instead of praying sad, begging prayers, to stand on the word and proclaim it for them and prophesy it into their life and put their name in the verse. So, for example, Isaiah 54, 13 says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. So we pray that into being, and we put our kid's name in there. Felicia. I don't know, I just thought, I don't think anyone's called that, so I just picked that name. So if that's you, I'm not talking about you, I just picked a name. Thank you, Lord, that all my children will be taught by you, not just some of them, all of them. Little Felicia will be taught by the Lord, and great will be her peace. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. So instead of praying out of fear, oh God, I don't know what's going to happen to Felicia. She's hanging with the wrong crowd. I think she's on drugs. I think she's got a P-Lab in her wardrobe. Oh God. No, you stand. By choice, you choose to stand on the unshakable foundation of the strong, eternal word of God. And as you drive into work, and as you're in the shower, and as you're getting ready for the day, and as you're in your prayer time, you are speaking out the word, and you are prophesying over your kid. Felicia will be taught by the Lord, and great will be her peace. Felicia will be mighty in the land as you're driving to work. Guess what? All the demons in hell are hearing that. And all the angels in heaven are hearing that. And the Lord's dispatching them to move on the word that you are prophesying out over her life. And after a while, you start to change too. A conviction in your spirit starts to form. And it starts to rise up. And you start getting the substance of faith building on the inside of you. And you can see it now. That girl is coming back to the Lord. It's just a matter of time. Thank you, Lord. If you want to hear a testimony just like that, come tonight to the baptism, and Gabriel's testimony is incredible. Maybe your mountain's a financial one. Band, if you can come, please. And you can't see how you'll ever get ahead. You can't see how you'll ever afford a house. You can't see how you'll ever get out of debt. So what you need to do is get a word from God, from the word, about your finances. So many words in here about provision. And I'm not going to share the story because I've done it many times, but 10 and a half years ago, God did this for us. And I've been praying this word for 8 years, which was in 2 Samuel 7, verse 10. I will provide a place for my people, put my names in there, the Hoods. I will provide a place for my people, the Hoods, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Prayed that every day for 8 years, and God did a miracle. We were 1 million miles away from buying a house, and he enabled us to buy the house, and we're still in it today, and it's more than doubled in value since then, and we're so grateful to God, because there was no way on this earth we were going to get one without his intervention. But as we speak out the word, stuff happens. We've got to get a word from the word about our finances, and then we speak it out. We write it out, we speak it out, we pray it, we prophesy it with boldness and faith. And as you start to speak the word of God, faith rises up in your spirit. And then you start to declare it. And then you really start believing it. Because like it says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes. If you don't have it, you can get it. If you don't have much, you can get more. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're in the word and you're reading it and one will jump out and smack you in the face. That's a rhema word. You've heard the word. And then you keep saying it out loud, and then you're hearing it with your natural ears, and then faith comes. It's built inside you. It is very important for our own spirit to hear the word of God spoken out over our lives. Do you know what happens when we get a word from the word and we speak it out? Maybe underline it, and then you write it out, and you read it aloud. This is what happens. You read it aloud, so it's going in your eyes, then out your mouth, and then it's going in your ears again. All your senses are being assaulted by the word of God. So today, whatever type of mountain you are facing, it could be health, it could be relational in your family, it could be financial. There are verses of scripture about it. And we need to go to the word and find out what God says about it, because he has the final word. And write it out and memorize it, read it, speak it, memorize it, speak it out and prophesy it over our situation, over our family, over our finances. Why don't we stand this morning? We're going to speak to some mountains here today. Are you ready? We're going to worship. It's going to be awesome. And some mountains are going to move. I already texted the prayer team about this yesterday. They're ready. We're going to shift some things in the spirit realm by the word of God, by the grace and the power of the Holy Ghost and his word in the name of Jesus. Let's close our eyes. If you know you've got a mountain that needs to move, and you know you've been talking about the mountain, talking up the mountain, but you need to start speaking to the mountain and speaking God's word to the mountain, you know that's you. Why don't you put your hand up right now? Father, you see these hands. You see these hands. In fact, why don't you come? If your hand's up, you come now. We're going to pray and lay hands on. Why don't you come now? You ready? We're going to worship. Father, right now, as these ones come, Lord, you see these hands lifted. You see these ones coming and standing before you. Lord, we bring our mountains to you, and we thank you that no mountain is too big for you. You created this whole universe, and you today are going to move some mountains by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Come and find a space. Just come and move along in Jesus' name. And Father, we just speak to these mountains to move in the name of Jesus. Prayer team, you come and pray and stand with these people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We take authority over these mountains and tell them to go in the name of Jesus. We're going to move them. We're going to see them move in the name of Jesus. Let's worship. Let's worship. Thank you, Father.
Fills everything, my God. You are my God.
Thank you, Lord.
And holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord Almighty, seated on the throne.
We need some more leaders down here praying. If you could, are a leader, you can come and pray. That would be great. Thank you, Lord.
Your presence fills the temple when we worship you. Points to the King, the heavens can't help but sing to you. To you, our God, and holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord Almighty, seated on the throne, seated on the throne of glory. Presence fills the temple when we worship you. And holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord Almighty, seated on the throne, seated on the throne of glory, high and lifted up. Your presence fills the temple when we worship you. Thank you. throne of glory, high lifted up. Your presence fills the temple when we worship you. Jesus. Hallelujah to the one who came and made a way. Hallelujah to the one who died and rose again. Hallelujah to the only name above all names. Glory and honor and power forever. Hallelujah to the one who came and made a way. Hallelujah to the one who died and rose again. Hallelujah to the only name above all names. Glory and honor and power forever. Glory and honor and power forever.
Thank you, Father. You're here and you're bringing change. Thank you, Lord, you're pulling mountains down, mountains of lies, mountains that are from the devil, mountains of poverty and lack, mountains of sickness and disease, mountains of relational breakdown. You're pulling them down. You're pulling down lies, and instead you're putting truth in, the truth of your word. Thank you, Father. You've given us authority to move mountains. Lord, we pray that we would be people who speak out the words, who have mountain-moving faith, because your word is in our mouths. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Why don't you give them some praise right now? Hallelujah! The mountains are moving. The mountains are moving. In Jesus' name. And in their place, the mountain of the Lord will be established. And it talks about in those minor prophets, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord will be chief above all the mountains. Hallelujah. Before we dismiss the meeting, we're running early. Oh, that's got to be good. We might have to sing again something. It's amazing. Right now, I want to always like to throw out the net, see if there's anyone here. You want to give your heart to Jesus, and you haven't given your heart to Jesus yet. Maybe someone's brought you along today. Maybe someone's been bringing you along for a while, and you're thinking, yeah, I want to make my move, and you want to give your heart to the Lord. Or maybe you've been away from God. You know you need to come back. You know He's coming again soon. You know you've got to keep stop putting it off, and you've got to do it. You just got to do it. If that's you, I want to pray a prayer inviting Jesus into our hearts, and I want you to pray it with all your heart. Are you ready? We're going to pray it together. And also, I want to encourage you to come to the baptism tonight, especially if you've never seen one, because this could be the next step you do too. If you haven't been baptized, I really encourage you to come tonight and watch. So we're going to pray together. Are you ready? Let's pray this with all our hearts. Dear Jesus, I come to you a sinner. I thank you. You paid the price for all of my sins when you died on the cross and took my place and shed your blood. Right now, I invite you into my heart to be the boss of my life. I renounce the devil. I renounce my old ways. I will follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life, by your grace and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.